Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas Show, Julio. You know, they always say good things are worth the wait type of thing. Well, I got to say, Hugh, the food from Yards. Yards Brewery came in today to bring us some food and beer, by the way.
Yes.
As, of course, their Philly standard beer.
Somebody got
beer.
Some fruit punch beer. I've never had fruit punch beer.
So I went to their brewery a couple weeks ago, and I tried the Philly standard, right? And they have different flavors of it. And they pair, because it's funny we were talking about this here, they're the pairing of foods, right?
Yes.
So if you look in the room they set up the food, you pair certain things with the beer, the flavors.
So like wines.
Like wines or beer, right? Yes. A certain kind of beer goes with the pretzel. A certain kind of beer goes with the wings. A certain kind of beer goes with maybe the salad if you want to go with that.
Yes. I never send it.
So what'd you get?
I got the onion rings.
They're good.
Well, because this is the reason why. Because I thought that, you know, this was going to happen a little bit earlier. So, you know, I have to get ready to go to the gym. So I can't, you know, can't put all that
on. So you're
going to
bring it home with you?
So, yeah, I'm going to grab me some stuff to put on my stomach. But he was telling me about the fruit punch beer. And I told him, I said, do I like I drink fruit punch?
But you never had this beer. Here.
No.
You never had this
but
beer.
But I'm definitely going to try it.
Oh,
because he said the case over there that he has over there.
I got a whole case. We actually have four cases in here.
Yeah, well, you have two, Joe.
No, we got three over there. We got one over here.
See, he didn't catch it. Yeah. He didn't catch it. You have two.
Two. All right. I didn't catch it.
You only got two cases.
Oh, you got two.
Yes.
Oh, well, I didn't know you wanted it. I'm trying to sell you on it.
I'm gonna try it because I don't drink fruit punch beer, but I'm gonna try it.
It's very good.
I'm gonna try it because that's what they were telling me.
Don't talk down on fruit punch.
I mean, I've never had it. I've never had fruit punch.
Well, I never had fruit punch beer until I tried the Philly standard.
I mean, but yeah,
I'm not talking about fruit punch beer. I mean, fruit punch. I'm like, fruit punch beer is probably delicious, but like, you were like, do I look like I drink fruit punch? You should. It's good.
I'm just saying, I was trying to be intimidating while eating food at the same time. It didn't translate that way.
Well, why would you want to be intimidating while eating food?
Because it's my mantra. That was my mantra for the day. But
okay.
it didn't work because when he said the fruit punch beer, I was like, hey.
What? Are you like a cheetah guarding its kill? Like, don't touch my food? Like, getting aggressive?
You know, I think we got into Hugh's brain there. Yes. So, listen, we appreciate Yards coming in. And I've partnered with them. Obviously, Kyle Schwarber has. And then what they have going on right now with the Philly Standard beer and the whole partnership with Kyle. Hugh, every time Kyle goes Yard, if you have the Yards app, download the Yards Brewing app to find the participating bars, you can go and get your first beer on Kyle. And think about how many times Kyle Schwarber's a home run.
I was
run.
Just thinking about that, Joe, because the thing that got me, I was like, damn, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of free beer.
I think it was 46 homers 2 years ago, 47 last year.
Yes.
I mean, I told him
you
when he was
give him 50 this
I said
year, right?
50.
You got to hit 50.
Dude,
I mean, because you're so close.
Did we put too much on Kyle? 50's a lot.
I don't think so.
Okay. I think he'll do it. So download the Yards Brewing app to find the participating bars. I think he's going to go Yard a lot this year. Plus, the limited edition collectible pinstripe Philly Standard cans. You see the cans? They're going to be down at the park this year with the pinstripes.
I am excited about I'm excited about the fruit punch beer. I want to see what that tastes. I really want to see what that tastes like.
So they have a lime, they have an orange, they have a fruit punch. My guess is you're going to be the fruit punch guy. It starts today.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like the fruit punch.
I have an idea what it might taste like.
Fruit punch? Captain,
you know,
Obvious over here.
He's right.
I walked into that.
You did.
I did.
You did. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to the phone lines in a second here. But so the Eagles proposed a rule at the NFL owners' meetings. It did not get past you, but they proposed the rule where instead of the onside kick, you know, you'd have the 4th and 20, an untimed down, one down, you have to get 20 yards. If you get, you know, if you convert it, you keep the football, right, instead of an onside kick. And yesterday, we talked about how they're changing the kickoff. You know what I didn't think about?
What you didn't think
the
about?
The new kickoff kills the onside kick, right? If all the players are lined up way down the field, you can't do an you can't even try
it. Yeah, because they're kicking at the 35 or something like that, right? Everybody's lined up really close to 30 to 35.
I think the onside kick is dead anyway. Now, this rule didn't pass, but Dean Blandino, the former rules guy, and now you see him on TV, he thinks this Eagles proposal eventually will get through. Here's what Dean Blandino said.
The success rate in 2023 was 5%. That is very low. Historically, that play is more of a 12%, 13% play. And it's such a critical play in the game because without a viable onside kick option, teams that are behind multiple scores late in games can't come back. And that's what the NFL wants. It's what we all want. Closer games, exciting finishes. So I think this is something that the league is going to have to look at and monitor, because if we have another year of 5%, 4% success rate, I think that 4th-and-20 Philadelphia proposal, I think it gains more momentum, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that come up again next year, depending on what happens with the onside kick.
That's pretty interesting that he said that, because it's one of those things, when you think about the new onside kick, a lot of people are like, oh, it's not going to happen. I think there's still a chance, because now you're talking about different personnel that you could put out there that could potentially make it easier for you. Because the first thing I thought about, with that such a short space and it happening so fast, you put a smaller, quicker running back there, somebody catch the balls, and they can hide behind those bigger guys.
On the new kickoff.
Yeah, if you decide to do that, it make it kind of hard to see them. So, I mean, they're going to tweak this a little bit, but it's going to be interesting to see how ultimately it comes down to, if potentially the Eagles will have that 4th-and-20 or whatever it is they want in there.
I hope it passes. I mean, I'm just thinking about it from a fan perspective. Like, obviously, the Eagles are top of mind for us. But, like, imagine the Super Bowl and the Chiefs are down 14 points, right, with 2 minutes to go. Mahomes scores. And then they have to kick it off or do an onside, right? That's the only way to get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, imagine the drama of Mahomes coming back on the field on a 4th-and-20, and if he converts it, he keeps the football. Like, that would be,
yeah, that'd be
awesome.
Exciting. That would be pretty exciting.
Yeah, and look, the onside kick at one point, Hugh, it was a fun play, but no one gets it anymore. I mean, like Dan Blandino said, a 5% play, it feels like it's a never play. It just feels like, when was the last time you felt an onside kick was happening?
Actually had a chance to be something.
Nah. Sometimes it happens as a surprise, but like, when was the last time a team tried it and got it, and you're like, yeah, they might get it? It just doesn't happen anymore. Kyle, I'm glad this is, it feels like this is going to happen one day.
I'm all in on this rule. Like, having one last gasp, like, I understand there's a whole thing of, like, you know, make the play in the first 59 minutes, but it was never that way. Before, you had an onside kick, you had that one last chance. If it's a one possession game and the other team could just kneel it out, you should be afforded that opportunity, a legitimate opportunity, I think. Now, the one thing that I think they're going to have to work on with the 4th-and-20 is the PI baiting. Like, do they give you an automatic first down, or should you have to replay the down?
So, okay, but if they don't give an automatic first down, what is the, like, if I'm playing defense, don't I just keep tackling the receiver?
Right. That's I guess, got to be what they iron out
It's a play. I think you run it and call it like a play. I mean, Hugh, what do you think about that? Because Kyle's point is, hey, if you have the untimed 4th-and-20, is it going to be PI baiting, right? You're just going to try to get the pass interference because that's an automatic first down.
I think that there could be some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's why not? I mean, especially if you're going up for a jump ball or if you got a corner, say you got a slot corner that's going against somebody that's a little bit of a mismatch and not, you know, he's a little handsy. Yeah, I would definitely do that. That's a strategy.
Let's play it out, though. Let's say it's a pass interference. Do you then get them? Do they keep the ball, or do they have to try again? Like, what happens on the pass interference?
I don't think you should change the rule that much. I think if it's a PI, you should get it from the spot
first,
of the foul.
First down.
Yeah.
Which means you keep the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you get it from the spot of the foul. So I don't think you want to change that too much.
Yeah, you got to work through that. That's a potential thing there.
Yeah, like, my thing is, with the onside kick, there's no bait, really. Like, you either make the play or you don't.
There's no ambiguity.
There's too many variables. There's a lot of variables with the 4th-and-20. I'm for it. I'm just saying I need to know what they're going to do if a team gets sort of a nonsense PI penalty. And, like, you just chuck it up for the guy to have to run back. I mean, that's where the PIs happen.
Yeah, so you're already preparing yourself for Bradberry to get called for a penalty?
I'm
on a
preparing
fourth and
for all of us to be furious about the Eagles.
That's
getting,
a game strategy, though. Like, I have no problem with strategizing the fact that you get the weakest link out there, and if he can't cover,
you throw it at him.
You throw at that guy. It happens every weekend in the NFL.
I mean, that was Sirianni's strategy in the Seattle game, is go get a PI.
Well, that's what he told us after the game. That might have been a lie. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Larry in Philadelphia. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good
what's
afternoon.
Up, Larry?
Hey, Larry, what are you thinking today?
What we're saying. The life of me. I mean, I get our winning percentage is tremendous when he's at first at bat.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't shake the thought of him hitting a grand slam at the four spot. If you got Boston Snot, Turner, and Bryce on base, and he come in and just whacks one in the first inning, and it's just it gives us a better advantage to score quicker than other teams. And when he gets hot in June, it just elevates it even more.
So here, Larry, here's what I'll say. At its best, like when he's at his best, sure, right? Because he's hot, and then guys are on base, and then he knocks them in, right? I understand your point. But there's also the other side of it, Larry. Like when he strikes out and there's two guys on, you're losing a chance to score runs. If he strikes out and there's nobody on, you kind of just reset the whole thing with, you know, with Turner and Harper after him.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I do. But if in a perfect world, I would say, I think that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going into the postseason with him, you know, at a different spot in the lineup, you know, now the pitchers we're going up against, they have to readjust and say, all right, well, he's not number one. He's at four. So now they have to worry about the dudes before him and be like, okay, well, if you got Turner and Harper, then you got Schwarber, and it's like,
it's like the old school way to build the lineup. But yeah, I mean, Larry, yeah. I think for years, like if you put this Phillies team, Hugh, back, and Larry, we appreciate it. If you put this Phillies team back 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, Schwarber doesn't hit leadoff. I mean, I recognize that it's a more of a new school thing. But we're living in the new school. Like, we're living in it, and it has worked. And I think people just like to see the positive of if he was dropped down, but not realize, like, well, he's going to strike out a lot with guys on base.
You know, this kind of reminds me of the fact that baseball is so steeped in history as far as, like, stats and everything. For a lot of people, this is hard for them to wrap their mind around. The bottom line is, with him in the starting lineup, with him hitting leadoff, they win baseball games.
A lot of them.
That's the bottom line. That's what you're trying to do. That's what you're kind of trying to accomplish. Part of the problem is we have so many people that are baseball purists. They just don't – they want to argue just for the sake of argument right now, because that's what it kind of sounds like to me, because you're kind of twisting yourself into a pretzel trying to make a point about a man that's hitting leadoff and the Phillies are winning baseball games. That's the bottom line. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to win baseball games.
I feel like people need to get – this grand slam fantasy out of their head. Like, we all love Kyle Schwarber, and we love how many home runs he hits, but I just want to put something into perspective for everybody here. Kyle Schwarber maybe at best will hit 50 home runs this season.
I think that's
He's going
fair.
To strike out four times as many times. Four times as many times. 200 strikeouts in a season for Kyle Schwarber. That's where we need to think about, like, that's how we need to view Kyle Schwarber, is not the home run guy that's going to get you a grand slam. We need to think of him as the three true outcome guy. He's either going to walk, get on base, or get on base with a walk, hit a home run, or strike out. Like, just get that through your heads.
And I also, Hugh, I love when he steps up to start the game and hits a home run. Topper always talks about this. It
gets everybody going.
And it gets the opposing pitcher on edge. You're trying to settle into the game. You're like, holy crap, if I throw one down the middle, it's 1-0 Phillies.
Yeah, and there's nothing better to see when he's out there and a pitcher at meltdown on the mound. You're trying to get the game started. And when we were talking to Willie, he was talking about that. Some guys, when you start off the game and you get rocked, you might not be able to recover from that. And that's kind of what he brings to the table as well. These onion rings are pretty good.
All the food is good, Hugh. We're about to lose Hugh here. He's about to walk back in there and get some more food.
You see me keep looking at the window. I'm like, damn, they better not grab those onion rings.
So here's
the chicken sandwich is killing me.
I got to say, so we had a little bit of fear, the three of us in here, because so the great people from Yards, Hugh, they came at like 12:55, right? And we're about to go back on the air, so we didn't get...
Our fear was realized, though,
well,
Joe.
Well, every one of our colleagues ran in there, and so I was like, oh, no, there's no food left for us. But they brought so much food, we're in the clear. We're good.
They came like 10 deep, and everybody had something with them. So we have enough food, but still.
Did you notice the line of our coworkers that just like followed them in? It was like a train.
I'm watching now as people walk in. I just hope they don't get those onion rings, because those onion rings will come with me.
The buzzards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You bring good stuff, food and beer, people run to it.
I'm not talking about anybody.
Call them out, Hugh.
I'm not.
Name names.
But some folks need to grab some of them salads. And I'm just saying. I'm not saying nothing. I ain't talking about nobody.
I will grab a salad, but that's only one person.
I'm going to grab one, too. But a couple folks need to, like, grab some of them salads while y'all in there. Just saying.
Save the onion rings for Hugh?
Yeah, give me the onion rings.
I also feel the need to put this out there because people are acting like that I don't need to eat because I'm a slender guy.
Needs to eat.
First of all, we need to eat more than
Kyle. We need to stand
anything,
up.
I need to be fed. Feed me.
Yeah, smaller people need to eat more. We
ridiculous.
Need more food.
Right, what are you talking about here?
Let's even this thing out here. All right, Jeremy is up next in Happer. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Jeremy. What's on your mind today?
I just want to talk on the Xavier Worthy thing, the Schwarber situation, and Philly's prediction record prediction.
All right, what do you got on Worthy? You want him?
I think if he's there and they like it, I think why not? I mean, with that new hip rule that just came out and the dude with that speed, if you get him in the clear somewhere in that middle of the field and he breaks past people, good luck trying to catch a guy running 40 yards up the field. That's the way I see it. But one thing I would say, I think I want anybody to grab him. I do not want him to land with Kansas City. One thing about Kansas City, when it comes to fast receivers with good hands, always work, and I just don't want him there. So he can go anywhere but Kansas City. I don't think it would be a bad idea if the Eagles decide to press the trigger to get him, though.
Look, the speed is undeniable. You put him in this offense, he could stretch. It'd be like what they tried with Quez Watkins, but he just, you know, obviously Quez wasn't good enough. All right, what are you thinking on Schwarber? Lead off or not?
Leave him there. There's no reason that you should even think about moving him. I mean, no shade to the last caller, but like you said, put him in a four spot. He strikes out. You got people. You need people on base, and there's no way, in hell that I'm having my cleanup hitter, and he gonna be batting below 200 probably throughout the whole year, or at least 230. No. You leave him. Leave him at the top. One thing that I see very well from him being at the top, and I think a lot of people don't really recognize this, is they scared of him. Mm-hmm. A lot of these pitchers, when they go in and they, like you said, they set in, they want to start the game off. You starting the game off against somebody that's hitting in the one spot that can hit 40 home runs, that is not some way that you want to start the game. And one pitcher that I think is very scared of him at the number one is Spencer Strider. So I don't think you take him out of number one at all. I don't care if he strikes out the next seven games straight. Hey, it's working. You don't change something that's been working, no matter if you think someone else can do better at the one or not. They're scared of him. If he can start the game off 1-0, why not have somebody there that's going to put something on the board?
Yeah, it's their identity, and it sets the tone, Jeremy, and that's what I like about it. Jeremy, we appreciate the phone call. It does set the tone for the game, and look, I hope Strider's scared of him because we get to see Strider tomorrow. You Strider and Zach Wheeler tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of Spencer Strider. I'm not afraid of him.
I'm not afraid of him. He is good, though.
He's a good –